Oh, man. If that doesn't get you pumped up for college football, what else will?
Oh, man. Huh? That's Justin Bieber's new song, right?
Is that right? No, this is Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. The Survivor.
Did you know a little known fact about Rocky III? That they had initially, they were going to go for Queen. Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, okay.
That true story. You'll have to Google it. Our fans will have to Google that. Another One Bites the Dust was going to be the Rocky theme song. And then they decided Eye of the Tiger, like some of the producers made the change. There was a lot of dispute about it, but it ended up being the right move.
For sure.
No, we haven't done a podcast in a while, Spence.
We haven't, yeah. And actually, I think this is the kickoff of season 4. Can you believe that? Yeah,
season 4, college football starts.
Let's go. So, yeah, season 4, episode 1. Welcome back. The summer has been crazy. We've both been on vacations. We've had hearings and trials and everything. Yeah. And so we apologize. We know everyone's been upset. We've been hearing from the fans that they're clamoring for a new episode. And here we are providing our service like we always do.
Yeah, it's September. Pumpkin spice latte is out in full effect. And I'm embarrassed to say, Spence, 2 today.
You've got 2.
I had one this morning and I have one right now on my desk. It's pumpkin season. It's football season. It's fall. It's September. And it's 90 degrees out.
That's right. Yeah, and we're going to be doing some picks later today. The AP... Nostradamus will be coming back here in a minute. A couple years ago, I mean, you were unbelievable. It was like you were like 70-2. I mean, last year wasn't. You took a little bit of a dip. You still had a winning record.
Yeah,
but you took a little bit of a dip. So this year we're gonna go back. He's gonna get back on his hot streak. You've promised the fans.
Yeah. And the part it made it complicated last year with COVID stuff.
Oh sure.
You know, because you couldn't factor in the fandom and the crowd, which I factor those in into my analysis.
Oh, gotcha.
And so that's my excuse for last year that I already had built in.
Yeah, you always have an excuse, which is good. Yeah, which is good. That's helpful.
I refer to them as reasons, but you know, this year is going to be pretty exceptional.
Okay, good. Well, let's start out with some news first, okay? Yeah. So we've had 2 bits of news that have happened just today. There's a lot that has happened over the last month. We're going to have to put that to the back burner because the 2 pieces of news today are gargantuan. So the first one is that the conference playoff committee has approved, probably starting next year, a 12-team playoff. So what would happen, according to what I've read, is you've got you have the 5 Power 5 conference champions, and then the highest rated group of 5 conference champion, and then the next highest 6 ranked teams make the playoffs. So you could have a situation where you have, you know, the SEC winner, the Big Ten winner, 1-2, and then you have the Big Ten runner-up is number 3 in the country, and the SEC runner-up is number 4, and then SEC 5, 6, 7. So you could have 4 or 5 SEC teams in the playoffs, and that's what they want, right? That's what the SEC wants. But so initial reactions, what do you think? Moving to a 12-team playoff, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, one, I like it. I know that USC, when I think of it from a USC perspective, they missed out on a couple national championships a few times in the Pete Carroll days where they would finish like 3rd, have 1 loss to the Beavers, and they were middle of the season. Otherwise, they trounced everybody, and they would finish 3rd, and they're out. It's like, gosh, I think we're the best team. But we didn't have our quarterback for that game. We lost it. You know, things like that. I think this expands it, makes it more exciting for everybody. Because I think college football has had one of the worst postseasons in all of, you know, D1 sports for a long time. March Madness is fantastic. This is football madness, right? You know, this is going to be January madness, right?
Some reports that I saw indicated that each conference was going to get hundreds. Each conference was getting Power 5 conference was going to get like $100 million extra to be distributed between their teams, and the Greater 5 teams are like, absolutely, like, we want some of that too, right? Yeah. So this is going to be a huge windfall. I think the number I saw was $450 million. Increase in value.
Yeah, this is big time. College football's popularity is skyrocketing. Now for BYU, BYU in theory could lose a game, go 11-1, still be the highest rated non-Power 5 team out there, and still make the playoffs.
That's true, but we're going to be in the Big 12 next year.
Oh, that's true. So it's different.
This is a little bit of bittersweet because I think you know, 2 years ago in the COVID year when there weren't any fans allowed, you know, BYU went 11-1 and we were ranked like 11th in the nation, and that we could have made the playoffs that year. But under this new formula. But yeah, so we'll be in the Big 12. So if we win our conference, you know, whether you're ranked number 5 in the nation or 15, if you win the conference, you're in, right? And I like that. I like that.
Control now, your own destiny.
Control your own destiny. We're going to have something to play for. That's why I'm excited that we're getting the Big 12.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. From USC's perspective, USC's now leaving the Pac-12 where it's kind of, would you say, kind of a big fish in a small pond? You know? I mean, typically, the Pac-12 conference would run through a USC or an Oregon or, you know, someone like that.
Yeah.
But now with USC and UCLA now going to the Big Ten, you're going to go into a situation where you're going to be playing the likes of Penn State and Wisconsin and, you know, Michigan and Ohio State. I mean, it's going to be harder for you guys to win in the Big Ten with 16 teams versus in the Pac-12 with only 12 teams.
It is. Yeah, I think we don't know how the expansion's all going to happen. I think the Big 12 is still looking to expand. I think the Big 10 is still looking to expand. We're going to see how this all shakes up. But assuming if things stay the same, yeah, the path of least resistance would be to stay in the Pac-12. Because especially even if you didn't win the conference, but maybe you made it to the conference championship and you're still ranked pretty high, you could go too. Where now you're going to have to fight Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, you know, all these teams. But the saving grace, I guess, is the next 6 highest ranked teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like USC in this is going to be okay because they're going to be so good, I think, in 2 or 3 years once their recruiting's unbelievable right now. The next 2 cycles are going to be huge. I think they're going to be in the top 2 or 3 in the Big Ten. And I think because of that, they're going to get more cachet for higher ranking. And so I'm hoping that leads them to this. And so I like it because in the sense, before, if you're in the Big Ten or Pac-12, you either are not making the playoffs or you better win the whole thing,
right.
And then it's a stretch. And the Pac-12's not made the playoffs in a while, and their conference champion maybe even only has 1 loss or 2, is not making it. And now you don't have to worry about that. Just win your conference. Because if you can't win your conference, maybe you don't have a great argument that you should be in the national championship, right? So win your conference and you're good. You don't have to worry about such a beauty contest. And so if you have a really tough conference and you lose 2 or 3 games but you still win it, you're in.
So, yeah, then the question I'm wondering is, with the Pac-12 losing UCLA and USC and now going down to 10 teams, do you think that they will keep their Power 5 status, right? Because USC is a huge draw for them. Of course, they'll keep their power. I mean, they've been one of the big players, but if any more defections happen, the Pac-12 may be gone, right?
Yeah. I know Oregon met with the Big Ten recently, and Washington met with the Big Ten. I think Stanford and Cal are planning to as well. My gut tells me not this year, next year, Cal, Stanford, Bay Area, Oregon, Washington, the Northwest market, they go. So now you have a LA market, San Francisco market, Northwest market, a nice quadrant to play people. Now the Big Ten has the West Coast dominated with those big markets.
Right.
The other 6 teams, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, they go to the Big 12. Natural fit. You go to the Big 12, BYU, Utah, the rivalry's back.
Sure.
You're there. That's 4 teams there. What does it leave out? It leaves out Washington State, Oregon State.
Yeah.
I think those guys are in huge trouble and they become part of the Mountain West.
Right. So then they would have to win their conference and be the highest rated Greater 5. And the Pac-12, well, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if this – how they expand or what they do with the six conference champions. If one of the Power 5 conference champions isn't there anymore, Pac-12 dissolved,
probably modify it. Maybe.
Yeah, then maybe they say, well, what if the AAC gets an automatic bid and Mountain West gets an automatic bid? I don't know. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, or they could modify it. Hey, these 4 get an automatic bid, and then the 2 highest non-Power 5. You know, they can kind of modify it a little bit, but. But yeah, we'll find. I like it. I like more people playing for championships because right now it's a monopoly. It's like Alabama. It seems like every year.
Yeah. It's Ohio State.
Ohio State, like every year. Notre Dame finds a way to get in there because they're this independent and they play a fairly easy schedule. They'll schedule like 2 tough games, win one, lose one, But they're a one-loss, 11-1 popular Notre Dame team, and they're going to find themselves in the four seed.
Last year was a perfect example, right? There were people that were saying that Notre Dame should be getting in ahead of Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati had played Notre Dame at Notre Dame and beat them.
Yeah, think about that. And they're like, well, but it's Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's Notre Dame, and they have a loss, and it's to Cincinnati, who they played at home. But,
yeah,
you know, it was just crazy.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's impossible. Like, we're all playing for, like, one playoff spot. Now it's opened way up. But I don't know that it's going to be strange if they put a cap. I think there should be a cap on how many teams from a conference can make it. I think three is plenty. You don't need more than three from a conference. We don't need five SEC teams.
Yeah, but the SEC would love that. Imagine that. I mean, they wanted all four. They'd want all four, you know, semifinalists to be SEC teams.
Oh, yeah, it's Georgia, Alabama, you know, LSU. But the problem, I think the SEC is worried a little bit, right? Because you take away Nick Saban. I know he just signed this long extension. He's probably got another year or two. The guy's almost 70 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I think Paul Feinbaum. I credit him. He had a nice take the other day, and I don't really like anything he says. But he said, Nick Saban, probably not this year. He's going to have a fantastic year this year. Probably play for the Natty. The next year, he's in a rebuild mode. He's going to end up maybe missing on a quarterback. Maybe he goes 9-3, doesn't make the playoffs, and he's going to suddenly not like coaching there anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be really sour. People will question, is he too old? Is it past him a little bit? And I could see him retiring.
Yeah.
So right, and so it's coming. So Alabama knows if their dynasty sort of crumbles a little bit, and the SEC has a couple of teams, the Big 12's stockpiling this gigantic conference, they're trying to find ways. So I think this works to the SEC's advantage, because now they're going to get back to getting two or three people in the conference. The Pac-12's guaranteed to have somebody in there every year, which I like, right? You know, the Big 12's going to always have a representative. The Pac-12's always going to have a representative. You want to spread it around. I'm tired of the two SEC teams. Big 12 and the Big 10.
Big 10 or ACC. Because Clemson.
Clemson, yeah. Yeah, Clemson's always there too. And, you know, so it's the same. It seems like there's like six teams that have dominated the playoffs for like a decade. You know, right. Six or seven teams. Be nice to kind of spread that wealth a little bit and have some surprises. You're going to have a situation where maybe a BYU makes the playoffs and shocks. Somebody beats Alabama, right? Man.
And you would never hear the end of that.
Yeah, and then you're playing in the second round Cincinnati, you know, and it's like either Cincinnati or BYU are going to the Natty. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to love it. I'm happy that it's happening. I hope it happens sooner. But I think they're trying to see about conference realignment too.
Yeah.
It's all about money, right? And that's why USC and UCLA left is money. The money was huge. I mean, it was the difference between like 20, 30 million and like 90 million.
Right.
And $60 million is a lot of money to leave on the table when you're trying to fund all the other sports. Right? You think someone says, hey, you want 60 extra million bucks to do your job? And like, yeah, I'll take that. Okay, you just got to fly a little bit more and you're going to be kind of, but then they're going to invent this quadrant, I think. West Coast quadrant. Right. So USC won't be zinging all over the place as much. And I think it's going to be a dream situation. And then that'll actually get their thing up to maybe $10 billion for the TV deal. And so that could go to $100 million. Now, if you get this plus that, I mean, USC could be looking at five times as much money as they were making before.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's hard to turn that down in a tough economy.
That's right.
You know?
Well, so that's that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see as we get more information about the conference playoffs. I mean, this is literally just happening today. So we don't know everything. We don't know all the information. I mean, they don't even know if they can implement it by 2024, but that's the goal, right?
Yeah. I love that they voted for it, though, right?
Yeah, unanimous.
Yeah.
Unanimous. Okay, so what else is going on? You said that there was something else, something involving the transfer portal?
Yeah, so transfer portal, they approved windows. You can transfer during specific time frames and windows, sort of like the recruiting calendar. These are your dead periods. These are your recruiting periods. These are your quiet periods. This is going to be your transfer period. And so instead of it being like you can transfer whenever, which creates a mess, there's windows that you can transfer. I really like that. I think that modernizes things. It makes it easier on the compliance staff and the coaching staff. They modernized some infractions process, which is good, but they did not approve unlimited transfer concept, which I actually like because I think in today's market with NIL deals and football and basketball players, you would see people shopping themselves every single year.
Yeah.
And that's a mess, right? You're like, but now like Lincoln Riley at USC, he gets all these transfers that come in. They've used their one-time transfer.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they want to transfer again, they have to sit a year, burn a year. They're not going to want to do that. So for the most part, he can kind of quit recruiting those people. Folks, if you had to recruit your whole roster every year because they're bouncing around, it would be a logistical nightmare. And they said, no, we don't need kids to do it that much. They don't need to leave every single year. And I kind of like
they also put like a window, right? Like you can only transfer in these months.
Yeah.
And so it's like before the spring season and after the football season or something like that.
Yeah. So they're there's like sections of time. It says the transfer window will go into effect in time for the 22-23 season, will allow 60 days per year for athletes to enter the portal and maintain immediate eligibility for first-time transfers. For fall sports like football, the period will be split into two periods. The first, a 45-day period, which will start the day after championship selections are made. A second window will be instituted from May 1st to 15th, so players can enter the transfer portal after spring camp.
Gotcha.
So those are your windows. Starts 22-23 season, and there you go, right? So you got a couple of windows before and after the season. And then it says spring sports like basketball. We effectively have a reverse calendar. The first window lasting from December 1st to 15th, the second being a 45 window that starts the day after championship selections.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. I mean, yeah, that'll be good, right? I mean, I think we've had the wild, wild west of transfers and everybody transferring whenever and whenever. Now it's like, okay, let's provide some guidance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, and you called it. I mean, it's like I always say, you know, you called it. You said that the transfer portal needed to be reined in. Right.
Oh yeah.
Like the way it was going was just too crazy.
Yep.
And what you were hearing was coaches and administrators and the news. You know, everybody were getting upset with how many transfers were happening, and people were losing. You know, people were upset with their alma maters and all this stuff. And so it's like one of those things where you know this is happening. And so then they said, okay, let's rein it back in. Just like what's going to happen with NIL, right?
Yep.
Let's let it go crazy.
Yep.
You guys wanted this.
Yep.
You guys wanted this. Okay, how crazy is it getting? Now everybody's starting to get upset. What are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing. They're going to put parameters on it, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the point of it is that if you're recruiting all the time, right? If you're recruiting a situation where you have to – like if a kid puts his name in the transfer portal, you have to be watching it all the time and getting ready to jump on the phone call first and contact those kids. We don't want a situation where coaches have to recruit all the time.
Right. That's what coaches want to avoid.
Yeah. It's too much. You know, I'm going to focus on the season. I'm recruiting all the time. Now they're just going to focus on these periods of time. I'm going to recruit here and I'm going to recruit here. And that's kind of what they're looking at. And so I think it's going to be a good thing for coaches. It's going to be a good thing for athletes. It's just – it makes it not so crazy. I think the unlimited transfer would have been way too much because you'd see some kids playing on three different teams.
Right.
I'm at UCLA freshman year. I'm at BYU my sophomore year. I'm at USC the junior year. We don't want that. It's too much. Kids are going everywhere. All the rosters are changing over. You couldn't have any kind of continuity. It's one thing to let kids transfer once. It seems a little extreme that they're going to transfer every single year. Even though they say coaches technically can do that, coaches don't do that.
Right.
Head coaches aren't going to four different teams in 4 years. Rarely.
Right.
So it's the same kind of idea that you got to be kind of pinned down a little bit.
All right. Well, okay. So that's great. So I feel pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. That's a brief rundown of what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to do picks? Do you want to talk about games now? Are you ready? Or is there anything else that we need to talk about?
No, I mean, there's a lot that's happened, right? But nothing that is urgent as these games come out.
These games are huge. Okay, so we always start out by talking about what's going on with our own teams, okay? So who does USC have to start off the year?
USC has...
Is USC ranked?
USC is, yes. USC is ranked 14th.
Okay.
So they're 14th.
14th, okay. And who do they got?
They have Rice at home, the Rice Owls at home.
And they're 32.5 point favorites.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, for a while it was 35. I think it went down. 35 is too high, right? I mean, because they're going to try to run up the score on them. They have nothing to prove at home. Here's the things to consider. These are the things that people don't think about when they're picking these games. It's supposed to be like 90. Southern California is having a heat wave.
Right.
It's going to be like 97 degrees. 3 o'clock in the afternoon game.
Hot.
Not on national TV.
Yeah.
It's just on regional TV. So a lot of people are going to just look at the score. They're not going to look. So USC's not going to look to show off. They're just going to say, hey, let's get a comfortable win. Let's not get anybody hurt. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So my guess is they jump out to a decent lead. It's because it's hot, they're going to play a little slower. You know, halftime could be, you know, 24 to 7, you know, and maybe they make it 31-7, and then they start taking up their backups in, and then it gets muddled after that. Maybe they win 41-17, you know, something like that. So nothing crazy. Nobody's going to look at that score and go, wow. It's just going to be like, yeah, they got the win. Nobody got hurt for the most part. We got through it, and that's what's going to happen, and they're going to start off 1-0 in their Lincoln Riley's start. This is the most transferred team in the history of college football.
Yeah.
They have as many transfers as anyone's ever seen. And they're going to have a large target on their back, a lot of unknowns. And I think he's going to use this as kind of a scrimmage game to kind of see what they can and can't do. No disrespect to Rice, but sure. Rice is way overmatched
right.
in a lot of different spots.
That's just the reality.
They're going to have 5'11 guys guarding 6'6 receivers all over the field. And if USC can't win this one by at least 3 touchdowns, something's really wrong.
Did you happen, just as an aside, did you happen to catch any of the West Virginia Pitt game that was from last night?
I saw highlights, but I didn't see the actual
game. So Pitt won 38-31. And the only reason why I bring it up is because the starting quarterback for Pitt was Keaton Slovis.
A former USC.
And the starting quarterback for West Virginia was JT Daniels.
Isn't that funny?
Right? So, yeah. JT Daniels was, the number one quarterback recruit,
yep.
right?
Yeah, but helped get him eligible.
And then, we talked about that. And then Slovis was a highly rated recruit, but not one of the top dogs.
Yeah, he was a 3-star that was had a name for himself.
But he came in, and, I mean, for a while there, he was, considered the Pac-12's best quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he just went off. He got hurt, and things just – he couldn't get back on.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just thought that was interesting that it was like you had two former USC quarterbacks there battling it out for two separate teams.
Isn't that funny? And then Jackson Dart for Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. He was one of USC. So USC's got some elite talent out there, but these were all, if you noticed, it's kind of Pitt, it's West Virginia. These aren't elite, elite playoff schools. These are all number two quarterbacks for the most part that USC had playing as number one. Caleb Williams, I think, has the ability to turn into a number one because he's dual threat. USC has not had a dual threat quarterback in forever.
Yeah.
Where he can run or throw. That's going to throw fits because you have 5-star receivers all around the field. And if they spread it out way down there, he can take off.
And stud running back.
Yeah. So offensively, I think USC is going to average 40 points a game. Problem is defensively, they have a lot of issues. And their line is not very good. But they're going to play fast dink and dunk that's going to get around their offensive line problems.
Good.
So I think they're going to score, 40 points a game. I think that's what's coming.
Reasonable. All right, my BYU Cougars, we have the University of South Florida. Do you know their nickname?
Bulls.
The Bulls, that's right.
I used South to know Ralph Bull. Schick was the director of compliance.
That's right.
Yeah, he was
So we've got South Florida. We're playing at South Florida in Tampa Bay. Now, they don't have their own stadium, so they actually play at the NFL stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. We're 11.5-point favorites. I've seen it kind of range between 10.5 up to 12. I think that's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be – this is going to be similar game to what USC has. It's going to be 88 and humid.
Yeah.
Possible lightning thunderstorms in the area. So it's a possibility we could get some delays or two. I'm nervous about it. If we don't get hurt, if no one on our team gets hurt, we win the game.
What time is the game?
The game's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Or it's 4 o'clock there, right? Mm-hmm. 1 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
On ESPNU. If you don't have a place to watch it, you're welcome to come.
Okay, that sounds good.
My house. My whole family's going to be there. We've got a stud quarterback. You know, Jaren Hall, he's a stud. We've got a couple of great running backs. One transfer that's supposed to be just everything, just amazing. We've got some stud wide receivers. We've got a stud tight end. We've got probably one of the best, one of the top 5 offensive lines in the nation. Offensively, we're going to be fine. But similar to kind of what you were talking about USC, I don't know what we're going to have on defense. I just don't know. And this, USF put some yards on us last time we played them last year. Didn't score a ton, but did put yards on us.
Yeah.
So if I was a betting man, I would bet that BYU would win the game, but I bet you we don't cover. I think we win the game by 7 to 10 points. Mm-hmm. And, it's going to be one of those games where it's not going to be in question, but South Florida may take a lead for a little bit. They may be up 14 to 10 or something. Mm-hmm. We'll win the game, but it's going to be close. It's going to be closer than people think, but I'm expecting a victory. Now, if BYU goes out and just wins big, I'll be pumped on Tuesday when we come back in. But
I predict BYU is going to win that pretty comfortably. I do. I think that they're going to start slow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 7-0, South Florida. My guess is BYU wins that one 35-21.
Okay, I would love it. I would love that.
They're a better team. Now, can BYU beat Oregon at Oregon?
That's going to be a big game. I'll be at that game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game. That'll be interesting. I'm really curious. We'll get to our picks because that's one of the games I wanted you to pick is the Oregon-Georgia game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to know how good Oregon's going to be. New head coach, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. Neither one had been at a big-time school before. You know, the Georgia head coach the Georgia defensive coordinator is now Oregon's head coach. You know, there's a lot of unknowns with Oregon.
Yeah.
They don't even know. They really haven't even settled on a quarterback yet.
No.
Right? And so it's like, how good are they going to be? They have studs. Yeah. They got studs all over the place. They got 5 stars all over the place.
Yeah.
But so did USC. So did Utah last year. And BYU beat both those teams. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how we do. We've got USF, then we play Baylor at home, then we play Oregon at Oregon, right? So, you know, there's a strong possibility we could be 1-2 after those three games. I hope not. I hope we're 3-0, of course, but I am nervous about that. So anyway, let's do some picks. You ready?
I'm ready.
Now, we're going to do 4 games, right? We'll do 4 games because that's what we always do. We're going to start off with the Oregon-Georgia game. That's at 12:30 on ABC. Georgia, this is the Chick-fil-A kickoff bowl. Mm-hmm. I think it's in the Georgia Dome. Mm-hmm. Georgia is 17-point favorites. Oregon-Georgia, who you got?
Yeah, so Georgia has a lot of things going for them. Continuity. They're basically playing a home game. Oregon will travel okay to that. You know, they'll end up having 20,000 fans there or whatever. But Georgia's going to be all the rest. Right? And Georgia just won a national title. They're going to have a lot of confidence. Oregon's going to be nervous, uncertain. New quarterback. They don't have Travis Dye. They're running back. A lot of Oregon's talent. They're a very talented team. In fact, I think they're ranked the 7th most talented team in the country right now on paper. But a lot of their talent is on the lines. Offensive line, defensive line. I think they're the best in the Pac-12. Mm. And they have a lot of defenders. So they're a really good defensive team. They're almost built like an SEC team right now. So they're going to match up with Georgia that way pretty well. I think offensively they're going to struggle. I think that Bo Nix is going to have some issues. I think they don't have the running back. They're going to be able to run on Georgia very well. So my guess is Georgia wins this like 38-21.
Okay.
So it's going to
be a push or – So maybe Georgia doesn't quite cover.
Yeah.
But maybe a push.
But a comfortable win.
Okay.
They look better. Oregon's going to look kind of beat up. They're just not that talented. They're going to start off 0-1.
Okay. All right. Next game. Cincinnati at Arkansas. Cincinnati, darling of the Greater Fives last year. Arkansas is a 6.5-point favorite. A lot of unknowns with Arkansas. Who do you got in that game?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, I think Arkansas wins that. I think Cincinnati's not going to have the year they had last year. I think last couple of years they've been elite. I think this year they go 9-3 and there's a few cracks.
They lost their stud quarterback.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I think they have a few cracks. They'll have a really good year, but I think they're going to have like a 9-3 year. And so I bet you they lose this one. It'll be a battle. Maybe they lose by 7, but I think they find that Arkansas finds a way to win it.
Okay. Now this is the game I'm intrigued by. I agree. By the way, and BYU plays Arkansas at home,
no.
So I'm gonna try to catch some of that game if I can. Okay, so we've got Utah traveling across the country playing at Florida. Now Utah's 7th in the nation. Florida's unranked. Florida had a rough year last year. I think they were like 3-9 or something like that, right? Utah's only a 2.5-point favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, I think you automatically get 3 at home, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
So basically, they're saying Utah's going to win by less than a touchdown.
Yeah.
So who do you got in that game? That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I think Utah's a little overrated this year, right? They're getting that classic. We won the conference, and so the next year you get a bunch of love. And I know they have a lot of continuity returning, but you got to remember Utah lost to the Beavers last year.
They lost to BYU.
They had 2 or 3 games that were close last year, and so they very easily could have had like an 8-4 year. So they're a good team, but they're getting love like they're an elite team,
right?
And they're not, right? I think USC might have their number at Salt Lake City later this year. We'll talk about that, but. So my guess is Utah goes this year 9-3. They're going to have a good year. I think they have an elite year. Now, my guess is that they go to Florida and they find a way to win.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to win, but like by seven. Like it's a dogfight. It's a close game, but they sneak out and they get the win.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to end up happening. It's going to be something like it might be, you know, 34-28.
Yeah, something like
kind of game like that.
I agree. I think Utah will win. I think Utah's pretty good. There's a lot unknown about Florida. Florida really struggled last year. They turned the ball over like crazy. They couldn't seem to put any points on the board.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just against like the SEC teams. It was like they struggled to score against Florida State, who was awful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that I agree. I think Utah will find a way to win, but it's going to be close.
Yeah.
It's going to
be really close. They're not going there and winning by
30. It wouldn't shock me if Florida won. I guess that's the other thing. That's one of those games where it wouldn't surprise me if Florida beats Utah at home.
Yeah.
Florida's going to be, you know, they've got a top 10 team coming in. They're going to be pumped up. So it wouldn't surprise me if Florida won, but I think Utah will win.
Yeah.
Okay, last game of the day. We've got Ohio State playing Notre Dame at home.
Okay. At Ohio State.
At Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Ohio State is a 16-point favorite.
Yeah.
Now, Ohio State's number five. Notre Dame's number five. Ohio State's number two. I can't remember the last time I remember seeing a line that big with two top five teams playing.
Yeah.
So 16 is a huge number. Notre Dame, new coach. You know, they lost a lot of talent from last year's team. Ohio State, similarly, lost a lot of talent. They've got a lot of talent coming back. That's going to be a tough one. Who you got?
If Ohio State winning that, they're going to be really good at Ohio State. Notre Dame's overrated, right? They're getting a lot of glory from the last year. They have so many unknowns. It kind of reminds me of Oregon, where you have a new coach and a bunch of new pieces. And you're not really sure what to expect there. I think Notre Dame this year goes 9-3. Like, they have a decent year, but they're losing this one. And I could see Ohio State winning it decent, pretty comfortably. I could see them winning like, you know, 38-24, something like that, like two touchdown win. Maybe they won't get 16. I don't think they'll get there, but they'll win by like a couple of touchdowns. They'll look by the better team. You'll see Notre Dame maybe fall to like 12 or 13 after that game. That's really about where they belong, like in the teens. Yeah. And Ohio State will maintain that position.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ohio State, I think it's going to be close at halftime. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like 17-14 or something like that. And Notre Dame will be pumped up, but Ohio State will be pumped up. And then what Ohio State always does is they'll but you know, you never know, right? Ohio State didn't look that great in the Rose Bowl last year.
Yeah.
They lost a couple of games last year by teams pounding it down their throat.
And yeah.
We'll see if Notre Dame learned from that.
Yeah.
And if they try to pound it, we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun year. I'm super, super excited for just college football starting. I got home last night from work, and I had a long day. I was just exhausted, and I just sat and watched almost the entire Penn State Purdue game.
Yeah,
I put on my Purdue shirt. I sat down and watched almost the whole game. It was awesome.
I know. This is the first time as a USC fan we've had a lot of excitement at the start of the season. I mean, we had a Clay Helton season for 7 years in a row, and there's been a lot of like, not going to be very good, and we're kind of down. And this is the first time where they got a bunch of transfers in. There's a lot of hype. There's a new coach. And I think there's a lot of excitement. I think they're a lot better, you know. And so that gives a lot of excitement for the season. So it's going to be magical. I'm going to be at the USC-Oregon State game in Corvallis on September 24th. So that's about 3 weeks away.
Right.
3 weeks away. And so we got some cool stuff ahead. You're going to be at some games.
Heck yeah.
And look at this. I mean, this is the night before the night. This is the night.
This is like Christmas Eve.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is like...
Yeah.
This is like Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's going to be a big day. There's going to be a couple of crazy upsets.
Yeah, as there always is.
Always. There's going to be some team right now that's for sure going to win that's going to lose.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know.
I was reminded the other day of the Appalachian State-Michigan game. Remember that from a few years ago? App State was like 33-point underdogs and they won.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I remember that. Oh, yeah. So you never know. There's going to be one of those. There's going to be one tomorrow that everyone's going to be, how did that happen?
How did that happen?
You just hope it's not your team.
That's right.
You know, like, you don't want BYU to win, want SC to win, you know, keep it going.
Let's
you know.
Go.
I hope Utah does lose. I wouldn't mind Utah losing. We have a bitter, bitter game in October at Salt Lake.
Yeah. Are you going to go?
Well, I've thought about it. I know the game's going to be staying room only. They said, and they're painting their helmets with two of their teammates that have died.
But yeah, both wore 22.
And for that game. So it's going to be military flyover. They're making it like it's going to be a circus. So I thought about going, but it's going to be a hostile, brutal evil crowd, and so I don't know. I'm on the fence about it, but it
because you had a great experience at BYU when you went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I don't want like some kind of jinx.
I mean, fans were nice to you. And
yeah,
kind
absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be the same at Utah.
It would not be the same.
Yeah, and so it's a really, really important game. But if both teams are undefeated, I think it'll be game day situation.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot of fun. So yeah. It's going to be an exciting year. We're going to have a lot to talk about.
All right. Hey, well, great. Well, I'm happy to start season four with everybody. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Watch some college football. You got games every day. Every day from Thursday through Monday. Every day you got a game.
Yep.
And it's going to be an awesome, awesome year.
Labor Day, barbecue, three-day weekend for a lot of folks. Some good weather here in Oregon, 80s and 90s. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.
See ya.